As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Listen to this. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. That verse number 6 struck me this week as I was preparing to preach this morning. That phrase is so in this context, is so amazing, but it's also so chilling. He is not here. They went to go and seek after the Lord, and when they got to the place where he was supposed to have been, he wasn't there. Man, I got to thinking about how many times, how many people have, even today, woken up and gotten their clothes on and gotten ready and went and gotten their car and drove to a place where they expected the Lord to be, only to find that he was not there. I thought about the feeling that they must have felt before the rest of that phrase came out, when that angel said, He is not here. And I thought about this question. If he is not there, understand something. If I was to die today, if the end of my life was to happen on this day, there would be a service, there would be a funeral, there would be a casket, and there would be a hole. And they'd put me in that box, and they'd lower me in that hole, and they'd cover it up with dirt. I know that's a little depressing, but stay with me. And if 100 years from today, you wanted to find me, I would not be hard to find. Because right where they laid me is right where I would be. My body would be exactly where it was supposed to be. But that wasn't the case with the Lord. Right. When they went to the place where he was supposed to have been, where they thought in their minds that he was going to be, he wasn't there. So here's the question I want to pose to you this morning. This ain't real complicated. I'm only going to preach a little while this morning, but I want to preach on this thought. If he's not there, where is he? If he's not in the grave, where is he? If his body's not laying in the tomb, where is he? Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, I need your help. God, physically, emotionally, spiritually, Lord, I need you, God, to cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, and fill me with your power this morning. God, I desire to please you. I desire to do that which you've called me to do, Lord. But I can't do it on my own power. Lord, I know that my flesh will fail me, God, but you've never failed me. And I pray, God, that you would, Lord, just one more time, help me, Lord, uphold me by your power. Unctionize me, Lord, with the Holy Ghost, and let me preach this morning as it be, thus saith the Lord. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If he's not there, where is he? The quintessential question that's been asked by generations past and thousands and millions upon millions of souls is the same. It is, where is God? Where is the Lord? How do I find him? How do I get to him? How? I can't tell you how many times somebody's come to me and they say something like this, I need something, but I don't know what I need. And what they don't realize is they're looking for Jesus, whether they realize it or not, because he's the solution to the problem. When Mary Magdalene and these other women went over to this gravesite, their expectation when they got there was that they would encounter the one who they had entrusted their eternity to. Their expectation encounter the Lord. But when they got there, He wasn't there. So the question on their minds had to be the same question on my mind this morning, and that is, if He ain't there, where is He? Number one, I want you to see this. He's not there. Look at the rest of the phrase in this same verse. He is not here. He is risen. Hey, the angel gave us a little hint here about some things we need to understand about Jesus. You say, if He's not in the grave, then where is He? He's risen. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That means that the difference between Him and me is when they put me in that box and put me in the ground and put the dirt on top of me, there ain't a thing in the world that I can do about it. I can't scratch and claw my way out. Even if I had the strength, I wouldn't be able to remove myself from that situation. But the difference in me and Him is He didn't have to work hard to come out of the grave. It was not the end for Him. It was not the end of the journey. It was just a stop along the way. It was just some business He had to tend to. He said in John 10, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. And when I'm tired of having it laid down, I'll pick it back up. And I don't need nobody else to do it for me. He's a miracle working God. He's a miracle doer. He overcame the things that we all fear. Hey, listen to me. I like the verse that says, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Hey, listen to me. He did. He overcame the things that you fear. We walk around in fear that one day our life is going to come to an end and there ain't going to be no way to stop it. But He did not have that same fear when He was ready to lay it down. He said, it is finished. And when He was ready to pick it up, He picked it back up again. Hey, listen to me. The grave, I couldn't hold Him. The grip of sin never had a hold on Him. Not because of somebody else, not because He had help, but because of His own power. Amen. He is risen. He is risen. He's alive. The difference between our God and all the other so-called gods is that our God is alive. I can take you over to the Middle East and we can go and explore and I can show you things. I can show you the grave of the so-called prophet Muhammad and his body's laying in there till this day. I can show you the graves of all the so-called Buddhas in Asia and the East and their bodies are laying there till this day. I can show you the graves of Jonathan Smith and the graves of the leaders of all the cults of the world. But I can't show you a grave. Hey, listen, we were just having this conversation yesterday about going to Israel and talking about what friends of ours had seen there, and they said they're having an argument over there over which grave is Jesus's, over which one He got buried in. You say, preacher, why can't they figure it out? Because the only evidence that He was there is that He ain't there no more, praise God. Hey, listen to me, it's just an empty grave. You ain't going to find no traces of nobody there because He is not there. He is risen. Amen. He's risen. He's alive. He overcame the unovercomable. Listen, the first thing you need to understand about Jesus, if you miss everything else I say, hear this. He is alive.
Amen. Yeah.
He said, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. Hey, it's nothing that He can't open up. Hey, He can open doors that no man can close and close doors that no man can open. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he ever liveth to make intercession for us in heaven. He's on the right hand of the Father. Listen, with Stephen, the deacon was getting stoned outside the city. The Bible says that he looked up into heaven and he said, I see Jesus. I see it at the right hand of the Father. Oh, hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive today. He said, I'm the same today, tomorrow, yesterday, and forever. Hear me now. He's alive today, and He's going to be alive tomorrow.
Amen. Amen.
He's risen. Thank God we don't serve a dead God.
Amen.
I remember when the movies came out, God's not dead. And I thought to myself, wow, what a profound statement. If we could just get a hold of that. Hey, listen to me. I know for a fact that there are some churches that are worshiping a dead God, and you can tell by the evidence of their dead worship.
Yeah.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Whoop. Hey, listen to me. Man, I'm not serving a dead God.
That's right.
I'm serving a God with life. I'm serving a God that holds the power of life. I'm serving a God that nothing, that this world can't beat down. I'm serving a God that's never been stressed out. Are you listening to me? He ain't never had to take a mental health day, praise God. He ain't never had to pop a Valium before he walked into a situation. You hear me? He ain't never had a day off and ain't never needed one. He ain't never had the flu, the COVID, the cold, or anything else, praise God. He is risen. He's alive. He's as much alive right now as he's ever been, as he's ever going to be.
Amen.
Say, preacher, how do you know you're going to heaven? Because I'm going with him.
Yeah.
And if he lives, then I live. He's alive. He's risen. Not only that, but let me say this. Where is he? Look at what your Bible says. Verse number 10. They run into Jesus after they left from the tomb. And here's what he said to them. Verse number 10, then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid, go. Tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. Listen to this, and there shall they see me. He's not just risen, he's on the move.
That's right.
He's moving. Listen to me now. The first thing that he did when he came up out in the grave is he looked at his disciples. He said, y'all go, and I'm going too. We got to go. We got to move. We got to cover some ground. He told them, hey, listen, just 40 days after this, he would stand on the hillside and be transfigured back into heaven. And he told them this as his departing words. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, listen to me. And I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. He's on the move, praise God. He's not a standing still God. He's not a sitting still God. He's been making himself available to anybody and everybody ever since this day. He's continually moving today, just like he was back then. Thousands upon thousands witnessed his bodily resurrection. Your Bible tells you that. But I want you to hear me and hear me well. I may not have ever seen him in his physical body, but I have witnessed him because he's still moving today, as he's always moved. He ain't never slowed down. He ain't never missed a step. You say, preacher, the world is rough. Where is God in all of this? And I say to that, he's doing the same thing he's always been doing. He's just saving sinners and changing lives and healing bodies and fixing problems and mending relationships. He's doing the same thing he's always done. He's on the move. That's why the church ought not to sit still, praise God. Say, preacher, why do we go and tell people about Jesus? Because that's how we interact with him. You can't catch him sitting still, friend. You can't, hey, listen to me. You can't walk with Jesus unless you're willing to walk. He's moving. He's risen. He's moving. Hallelujah. This is going to be the shortest sermon I ever preached. Amen. I want to say this. He is not here. Where is he? He's risen. He's alive. Thank God he's alive. Thank God he's alive. Hey, listen to me. Thank God I'm not trying to earn the favor of a dead man.
That's right.
Thank God that my religion does not hinge on my power. But it hinges on his, because he's alive. He's risen. He's moving. He's on the move. He's accomplishing things. He's doing stuff. Hallelujah. He ain't sitting still. He's still in the saving business. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Hey, listen to me. God still saves sinners. Amen. That's because he's still moving. Not only that, but I want you to see this. Where is he? He's not here. He's risen. He's moving. But then I want to refute something right here. Because when that angel said what he said, he was right and he was wrong. Hear me out. Because here's what that angel said. He is not here. Specifically referring to the place where he had laid in the tomb. Mm-hmm. But I want to say, he is here.
Amen.
He is. The first time I heard that verse, I thought to myself, hey, he may not have thought he was there, but he is there. He is here. He's there. He's like one of them Dr. Seuss books, on a train, on a plane, praise God. On a boat and on a goat. He's here. He's here. He's here. There ain't nowhere that he ain't. One of his descriptors is this: omnipresent. That means everywhere, all the time, all day, every day. David said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. It ain't, you can't go so far that he can't go to where you are, praise God. You can't get so far down that he can't reach you. You can't get so far out that he can't find you. That 99 sheep had to set by while the shepherd went and looked for the one. I don't know how far he went, but he couldn't go far enough for the shepherd not to find him, praise God. He's here. He's in this place where we're seated right now. He's in this world that we're living in right now. And he's in this heart that you're looking at right now. There ain't nobody he can't save. There ain't no place he can't go. There ain't no sinner that he cannot redeem. He's here. He's here. He's here. Say, preacher, my life is such that I feel like I'm a million miles away from God. Well, I got good news for you this morning. You couldn't get away from him if you wanted to. You can't go nowhere that he ain't. Man, I'm thinking about that thing. Y'all got to help me go to Israel, praise God, because I've been thinking about this thing all night. In Israel, we was looking at pictures yesterday. God done that conversation yesterday. We was looking at pictures yesterday. In Jerusalem, there is the eastern gate of the city. If you study out Revelation, the Bible says that when Jesus enters into Jerusalem, that's how he's going to enter in, through that eastern gate. The Muslims have taken control or been given control to certain parts of Jerusalem, certain parts of Israel. And one of those places is the Eastern Gate. And so they hatched a plan, Brother Brian. They said, we're going to shut this thing down. They sealed up the gate with concrete and bricks. There's no door on the Eastern Gate. You can't get in and out. It's a brick wall. I'm talking about thick. They put bricks and stones all in front of it. And not only that, but then they started to study the Jews' religion. And they found out that the Jews were not allowed to touch dead people. They were not allowed to be around death because it made them unclean. So for about 2 acres right in front of the Eastern Gate, they put graves there and they buried bodies. And there's tombstones all out in front of the Eastern Gate. And their thought process is that that's going to stop him from doing what he said he was going to do. But I want to tell you this morning, hallelujah, that he'll kick them graves right over as he passes by. He'll bust right through that gate. Hey, listen to me. You can't stop him. You can't cease him. You can't settle him out. I can tell you this too. They may think that Jesus could never step across that place. But I'm here to tell you, he's already there. He's already there, praise God. He's there today. He'll be there tomorrow. And he'll be there the next day. And listen to me. I just wonder this. When I was looking at that picture, I wondered to myself, odds are that there may be one in that group of Muslim people that's buried in that cemetery out there, and somewhere along their life, maybe even in secret, they accepted Jesus as their Savior and were born again. It'd be good to me if when the rapture happens, there's a grave in the midst of that graveyard that comes open. He won't have to go far. Hallelujah. Hey, listen to me. It'd be something, wouldn't it, if they had to watch as that saved sinner come forth from that grave that they thought would stop the Lord. He is here. He's here. He's here. He's in this church. Can I tell you something? He's in the dead church too. They're just not interacting with him. He's available. He's here. He's in your home. Hey, you know that place where you go, where you think the Lord ain't got nothing to do with? He's there too. This is what's so amazing. And he still loves you no matter how many times you end up there. Whoop! Preacher. Hey, listen, there was a lot of times understanding the omnipresence of the Lord, that He's everywhere all the time, and not only that, but that He's pursuing sinners. I have to understand that for a very long period of my life, I took Him to a lot of places that He probably didn't want to be. Are y'all listening to me? I took Him to a lot of places that hated Him. I took Him to a lot of places that rejected Him. But He was just there, knocking on the door of my heart. He was there, and He is here, and you can't get away from Him. Why would you want to? There ain't nobody He ain't willing to save. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
That's right.
There's nobody beyond Him. Say, preacher, I don't know Him. Well, I got good news. He's here. He's risen. I tell you what you ought to do, like that angel told them, come and see.
Yes.
Come and see, because He's here. Hunter's coming to the piano. Just stand together all over the place. It's real simple.